Well, good morning, friends. If you can't tell, we are a family of God. If you're a guest with us, we don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take Him seriously. We love being able to worship together and give thanks to God. And then my name's Ryan. I'd love a chance to meet you. If I haven't had a chance, I'll be right down front at the end of our time together and eager to meet you, to just say hello, but also eager to pray with you and answer any questions you might have about the text, our church, or anything like that. And, you know, the song that we sang, that that verse at the end of the second song that says, "And He shall return in robes of white. The blazing sun shall pierce the night." We long for that day. And in Advent, what we are doing as we remind ourselves and we celebrate this season that does land at that first Christmas, the celebration of Christmas, it's a training ground for our hearts to constantly be looking and saying, "Let my gaze be fixed on Jesus' face." And the challenge, quite candidly, for all of us is too often in this life, our gaze is found in so many other places. And Advent, I hope, can shape us a little bit, can train our hearts to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, because He is going to come. And may our eyes and our lives and our hearts be fixed on Him forever. Before we dive into our text this morning, we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 2, a little bit in chapter 4, if you want to open your Bibles there. I hope you looked on the social media. We put this out over the weekend for you to read these two passages of really rich scripture and prepare. If not, just be watching for that in the weeks ahead. But as you do that, I want to make just two announcements of sorts. The first is something that I have been praying for, dreaming of, longing for many, many years. We introduced Jonathan Dotson a couple of weeks ago as our resident minister of theological formation. And the reason that he is here, we talked a little bit about, but now we get to give you a little bit more details on what he's here to do. The reason he is here is to help us deepen our spiritual depth as a church, our theological depth. And so beginning in January, we are launching something under his leadership called City Church Seminary, and we're starting with a course called Foundations. Now, you hear seminary and you think, okay, that's for pastors and Ryan, maybe other leaders, but this is for everyone. The Foundations courses are to help us deepen our understanding of God's Word and be formed theologically. And so I just want you to sort of be on the lookout. I know that right now in the month of December, there are so many things vying for your attention and your calendar. And so we're not going to give you all the details right now, but wanted you just be aware to be on the lookout. Come January, look for information coming out about formations. And this really is for everyone. And I would encourage any one of you to take a step and say, "I want to grow, I want to learn and be equipped and strengthen my foundation as a follower of Jesus." This will be a great opportunity. And this is under the umbrella of that City Church Seminary, because it's really the first brick, in a sense, that we are laying that we pray will lead to on-site seminary courses for those who are interested in that deeper study, perhaps vocational training, lead to also residency opportunities for us right here at City Church in Melissa, Texas, to train up and equip the next generation of pastors for more church planning and for multiplication. And so this is that first step. And so please be on the lookout for this. Can't wait to see what God's going to do through this. You're going to be blessed to sit under Jonathan's teaching and leadership. And so watch for that come January. The second thing, a quick announcement, is this evening at 5 o'clock, we have a covenant partner meeting. If you are a covenant partner here at City Church, you should be here this evening at 5 o'clock. In God's providence, you'll notice that His team does not play today. We didn't plan that. God did many, many months ago. All right. And so this was put on the calendar a long time ago. And so please be here 5 o'clock. We'll celebrate Christmas with some treats. If you're a guest, or you may have been here a while and you say, "What is a covenant partner? I'm not sure what that is." That is what we call members here at City Church. And so it is an opportunity for us to come together as those that are committed to this mission. And we would invite you in January again. There'll be an opportunity for you to say, "I would like to join with this church and be on mission with City Church." Then make sure you come to that class next time you hear about a covenant partnership class or a membership class. We'd love for you to be a part of that. If you've been attending for, as some of you, many, many years, and you've never taken that step of faith, please do that. It'll be awesome. It's good. We are here committed together to this work. And that's, you can learn all about what a covenant partner is and why we use that term in that class. But for those of you that are, 5 o'clock tonight, we'll see you this evening. We'll have some cookies for you. We look forward to that. Now, to our text, Hebrews chapter 2. As we come to and we consider the peace that we have with God that Adam and Ashley read about and highlighting Hebrews, some of us, and it's a right question for us to ask, why did Jesus have to come and be like us? That question is at the heart of our text this morning. Why did the eternal Son of God have to be like us in every way? Of course, we saw in our first week of Advent last week that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. But what exactly happened and why did he have to take on our humanity? Well, the answer, according to the author of Hebrews, according to God's word, is stunning. It's so he could die, so that he could suffer, so he could defeat death, and ultimately so he could represent us before God, so that he could make atonement for our sins. Jesus didn't just dip his toe into humanity as we do to test the water and see how warm or cold it is. Jesus fully entered into our humanity. He became one of us in every way, except for our sinfulness, of course. And in doing so, Jesus became a perfect high priest. As we look at Hebrews chapter 2 and a little bit into chapter 4, we're going to see Jesus, the righteous one, who became like us, the righteous one who obeyed perfectly, the righteous one who now stands for us. First, open your Bibles and look at Hebrews 2, verses 14 and 15. Since, therefore, the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things. Why did Jesus take on flesh? Not merely to visit us, to sort of just say, hey, I'm going to come and check out my creation. No, he became like us to save us. Since, therefore, the children share in flesh and blood, he himself, Jesus, partook of the same things. And, of course, we have to ask, why did he need to die? That through his death, he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. Jesus, because we are flesh and blood, came and was like us in flesh and blood, that through his death he might destroy death itself on our behalf. The only way to defeat death was to enter into it. The only way to destroy the enemy's claims, the devil's claims on us, was to absorb and exhaust those claims. Jesus didn't become human because humanity was simply lovely and he wanted to be like us, thought, hey, let me just see what it would be like. No, he laid down his life. He became like us, as Philippians chapter 2 teaches us, with great humility because we were lost. Jesus had to be truly human because only a human could atone for the sins of the world. He stepped in. He got messy for us. Especially the adults in the room, maybe a few teenagers might know that universal sound, the alarm that will wake you immediately and cause you to leap from your sleep, no matter how deeply you are sleeping. The sound of a dog preparing to vomit. We hear that lurching noise. We fly out of bed, knowing that we've trained for this our whole lives. We rush over to try and get the dog out the door, but sometimes, right, we don't make it in time, in spite of all of our preparation. And when that happens, we just stand there. Looking at it, silently negotiating in the dark about whose turn it is to clean it up, right? Start whispering, I did the last one. You're closer. Sometimes we think, maybe I just go back to sleep and I'll awake in the morning and it will have not happened. Because no one wants to get messy. No one wants to get that close. We don't want to get our hands dirty. We don't want to deal with a mess and the stench and the filth that closely. What an amazing reality. God didn't do that. And whatever filth that lies on your floor, the filth of our sin, the brokenness of humanity was much worse. In our spiritual mess, when sin had made everything unclean, God did not remain at a distance. He entered into our mess. He didn't send a spiritual text. He didn't post something on our story. No, he came near. Since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself, Jesus, likewise partook of the same things. Jesus didn't avoid our mess. He entered into it. And he got his hands dirty with humanity. And he got close enough to bleed, close enough to suffer, close enough to be tempted in every way, yet without sin, which is what makes him our perfect high priest. The righteous one became like us. The righteous one, as the text just said, though, also obeyed perfectly. Hebrews takes us deeper as we turn over to Hebrews chapter 4. Look at verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. He lived among us and he was like us, yet without sin. That line, in every respect, matters, friends. You may underline that in your Bibles. He was tempted, Jesus, in real ways, in real life, under real pressure. Jesus knows exhaustion. Jesus knows rejection. Jesus knows loneliness. He knows what it feels like to want to quit. Father, if it is your will, take this cup from me. Is there another way? He knows what it feels like to doubt, to have someone lash out at you, to want to take again the easy way. But in all of these things, in every respect where he is like us, he did not take the easy way. He didn't just avoid sin. He fulfilled all righteousness. All righteousness. He obeyed the Father perfectly in every moment of his entire life, so that his death wouldn't be for his own sin, but would be for ours. This is the promise of 2 Corinthians 5:21. You guys know this is one of my favorite verses because it so clearly and eloquently and powerfully reminds us of the gospel. For he who knew no sin became sin for us, so that we might become in him the righteousness of God. You see this exchange. For our sake, Jesus, who was sinless, became sin so that we might receive the righteousness of God. The great exchange. The righteous one takes our sin and we receive his righteousness. He obeyed for us because we couldn't obey for ourselves. His sinless life, it wasn't just something that he did as sort of, okay, that's great that he did that. That is the gospel. That is what is necessary for the gospel to be true. It's essential. Again, if Jesus had sinned even once, he would have needed a sacrifice to atone for his sin to reconcile him to the glory of the Father. And so he lived the sinless life that we couldn't, became a great high priest. And there is now one mediator, not a man, not an earthly man, but the heavenly man, the man Christ Jesus, one mediator between God and man, Jesus, our high priest. So here's the comfort, friends. When you feel tempted, when you feel as if sin is winning the day, we don't become before a judge who is going to quickly condemn. If our faith has been put in Jesus Christ, we come before a righteous one, a high priest who has stood in our place and is familiar with our burdens. He's familiar with exactly what you have felt and are feeling. And here's the good news. Where we fail, where Adam failed, where all mankind throughout human history failed, he did not. He won. This is what the author of Hebrews is elevating for us, where mankind over and over again had failed. Jesus, our great high priest, didn't. the righteous one, obeyed perfectly. Third, the righteous one now stands for us. Flip back over to Hebrews chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. The author of Hebrews isn't telling us just that Jesus was, looking at Jesus in the past tense. He is telling us what Jesus has done, who Jesus is now. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest, present tense, by the way, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest today to make propitiation for the sins of the people. He became like us. He obeyed for us. He died for us. And he now sits at the right hand of the Father as a merciful and faithful high priest for us. That big word, propitiation, it means literally satisfaction. Jesus fully absorbed the righteous, the right wrath of God against sin. He took it all upon himself. Everything that God demanded to atone for sin, Jesus took it upon himself, propitiated that. And therefore, God was satisfied. Colossians 1, 21 and 22, Paul writes, "And you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds," that's you and I, by the way, that's every man, woman, child for all time, "he has now reconciled," Jesus has reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach. You were once enemies of God, but now because Christ has come and Christ has died, the righteous one, and he has atoned for your sins, he now is the high priest who mediates for us. And we now have reconciliation to God through him. From enemies to co-heirs. This is the work that Jesus has accomplished for us. And because of that, the author of Hebrews can write these words in verse 16. Words that are sweet words to our souls. "Let us then with confidence," let us then with confidence draw near. Draw near to the throne of grace, draw near to God that we may receive mercy and grace to help us in a time of need. Think about the amazing reality of this fact, that we can with confidence draw near to God. We don't have to shrink back. And I know, friends, the temptation for all of us when there's sin in our life, when there's something going on in our lives that we know is not in line with God's word, we want to try and hide that. We want to try and run from God. We want to try and run from one another. This is why so often when sin begins to win and dominate in someone's life, you will notice that they will begin to withdraw from life. They will withdraw from their fellow believers. They will withdraw from the fellowship of God's people. They will withdraw because they're fearful, what if I get found out? And the words of this scripture tell us that we should not shrink back and withdraw from God's people and withdraw from God as if we might be able to hide anything, but that we should run to him, that we can and should draw near to the throne of grace. This is because of what Christ has done. We have a high priest that we can run to, that we don't have to be afraid. Jesus laid down his life for you. Jesus now intercedes for us at the right hand of the Father. We don't have to fear the face of God because Jesus has atoned. You're not on probation. You have peace with God. And so, approach the throne of grace. No longer in fear of condemnation or judgment. If you're a follower of Jesus, approach the throne of grace, understanding that Jesus has paid it all. And worship him. We don't have a high priest because we cleaned ourselves up, because we figured it out, because we proved ourselves as worthy. Our high priest, we have a high priest, and Jesus is our high priest because Jesus gave us his righteousness. His righteousness. So what do we do with this? How do we draw near? Well, first, draw near, it says, with confidence. Can you imagine that dog right after that terrible situation, just jumping up on your lap and licking your face. I give you vivid imagery because it helps us to understand. That's what we get to do with God. We get to run to Him because of Jesus. We would shoo that thing away. In fact, most of the time they're outside the rest of the night, aren't they? If you don't have dogs, you haven't lived this dream, but I promise you it's beautiful. But we get to draw near with confidence. Stop living with God at arm's length, friends. Christ tore the veil at the cross. The veil was torn so we might enter into His presence, that He could be Emmanuel, God with us. Come close to Him. Second, confess your sin quickly. You don't confess, by the way, to earn forgiveness. You confess because you know that forgiveness is already yours. Confess. And we have one another, the body of Christ. We have family members. We have friends. We have our fight clubs. We have people that we live in community with. And we're to run and confess our sins quickly because we understand that we're not confessing to nothing. We're confessing our sin and bringing it before a high priest who has already paid the price for it all. So don't live trapped in the bondage of sin, because what you're subjecting yourself to, Paul would argue in many of his letters, you're subjecting yourself to a slavery that you've been set free from by Jesus. Why subject yourself to chains again? Confess it freely. Bring it into the light and it cannot live. Confess. That is how we draw near. And then finally, rest in His righteousness. Some of you this morning are drowning in spiritual exhaustion. You feel like you're trying to just make it. Trying to be, unfortunately, what you're doing is you're trying to be your own priest. Let me see if I can balance out what I know to be true of my life over here with enough righteous acts. Maybe I can atone for my own sin if I do this, if I do that, if I show up here and you're exhausted by it. Rest in what Christ has already done, the finished work of Jesus on the cross. Rest in His righteousness, because you can't be your own priest. You want to know why you can't be your own priest? Because you're a sinner and you need somebody who isn't sinful to atone for your sin. You need a Savior. You need a high priest. His name is Jesus. And so rest in that. The same is true if you're here this morning and you would say, I'm not a follower of Jesus, and I'm not sure about Jesus. I don't know if I want to follow Him. The same things would be true for you. I'd invite you to draw near to God. You took a step of faith to be here this morning. Would you take another step of faith and draw near and say, God, I'm here. I don't know exactly why, and I'm not even sure if You're real, but I want to hear more. Confess your sin to Him. Just acknowledge, you know. I don't have to tell you, and you probably don't have to search very long to think of all of the ways that you've fallen short. And we can confess those sins. What we as Christians declare as we're preparing to come to the table in just a moment, we're declaring that we are not righteous on our own. We don't have a self-righteousness. We have a righteousness given to us by a Savior who laid down His life. And so we confess our sins. And so the invitation would be, confess your sin. And believe this is true, because it is, that sin, whatever comes to your mind, whatever conviction you've been laying down every night wondering, am I ever going to get past this? That sin was paid for on the cross of Jesus Christ. His body was broken for it. His blood was shed so that you wouldn't be condemned any longer for that sin, but through His blood and through His body, you might be reconciled to God. So confess it. You don't have to hide it, because you can anyway. Confess it to God. And then rest. Rest in His righteousness. So if you're a follower of Jesus, draw near, confess quickly, and rest. If you're unsure, draw near, invite Him to speak to you. You took a step, again, confess your sin and rest in what He did for you on the cross. Believe today. We come to the table this morning to be reminded of the fact that we have peace through Jesus' broken body, through His shed blood. The table is not for the worthy. It's for those who have been cleansed of all unrighteousness, for those who have been washed in Him. And so we come to remember that. If you're one of my friends here and says, I'm not sure about Jesus, this table is open to anyone who is a follower of Jesus, who comes to remember what Christ has done for them. If you're not a follower of Jesus, Scripture would say, don't come to the table, but rather spend this time in prayer and let the testimony of those believers that are about to get up, let it be a testimony to you that there's many people in this room that don't find righteousness from within and aren't bashful about acknowledging that we needed a Savior. We needed Jesus. So just spend some time in prayer. But for those of us who know what Christ has done for us, who are coming to the table of our great high priest, come and remember what he has done for you. Some instructions. Those of you on the outsides of our room, you're going to exit on the outside of your aisle, receive the elements from elders who are going to serve the table, and then return from those two outer aisles, or inner outer aisles. Those of you right here in the center, you're going to come straight to the center, make your way around back to the aisle and to your seat, and we'll receive the elements together. If you need a gluten-free option, there's a little plate of gluten-free bread at all of our stations, and they'll serve that to you. If not, they'll give you the regular bread. And David is going to lead us in a song that he wrote, a beautiful song. Reminds us that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. So as we come to the table, we come to remember, we come to give thanks, to celebrate that Jesus drew near to us. And so let us draw near to him. Lord Jesus, we come to your table and we give you thanks. As one pastor once beautifully said, there's more mercy in Christ than sin in us. So I thank you that that is true. Thank you that we have been justified by faith. And so we now have peace with you, God, all because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because he drew near. He became like us so that he could be our great high priest, so he could atone for our sins. And so we draw near this morning with joy and with thanksgiving. We worship you, King Jesus. We pray these things in your beautiful name. Amen. Oh, taste and see
that the Lord is good. Thanks for listening to the preaching of God's Word from City Church Melissa. We meet Sunday mornings at 8:30, 10 a.m., and 11:30 a.m., and we look forward to meeting you there soon. City Church Melissa, for the glory of God, the good of the city, and the hope of the world. Oh, you say.